नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनः नाम्नि नमस्ते सारस्वते गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। So we have been discussing from the fourth verse of Shiksha, and chant the verse, and we will within that we have been discussing from the commentary by Srila Bhaktivedan Goswami Maharaj. So we'll chant the verse. And then I will do a quick recap what we have seen from his commentary, and then we will move forward. Okay. Advarta Veshya Visraja Mati Sarvasvaharani Kata Mukti Vyagriya Nashrunu Kilarvatma Gilani Apityatva Lakshmi Parirati Mito Vyo Manayani for Krishna. So he says the first obstacle is Asadvarta Veshya. Asadvarta refers to prajalpa, also refers to activities which enhance one's material attraction, right? Thirst for material enjoyment. So which is atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha sangascha laulyam cha shadvir bhaktir vinashyati. And the second thing he says is Kata Mukti Vyagriya. He is comparing discussion on Mukti, which is how one can escape the troubles of this material world. He is comparing it to Vyagriya. So Vyagra is Vyagriya is a female tiger, which is said to be very ferocious because she has to protect her children also. So he says that if you get attracted discussing the topics of mukti and how it would be wonderful to escape the trouble of this material world, he says that that literally destroys our attraction to serving Krishna, and therefore it becomes a very great obstacle to realizing our complete constitutional position, which is Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishna Ranityadas, right? And but he says, Api Tyaktva Lakshmi Pati Ratim Ito Vyoma Nayane, and also give up attachment to serving Lakshmi Narayan, because of that attraction, one will be taken to Vaikuntha instead of Goloka Vrindavan. Okay, in this context, we were discussing from commentary by Srila Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. He discusses this first theme of how basically the theme is all obstacles in our life due to lack of attachment to Krishna. So, what is the solution? Okay, the solution is attachment to Krishna. Okay, so now the question is how to get that attachment. The answer, mercy. That's what he says, right? If you have their mercy, you can attachment to Krishna. Now the question is, how to get that mercy? He says, endeavor to please them by worshipping them. This is the essence of this section, where he says all obstacles in our life as devotees is due to lack of our attachment to Krishna. And how, so the solution is Krishna. And then Vraje Radha Krishna Swarati Mani Dau from Bhajamana. My dear mind, you should worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So worship endeavor. And what will that endeavor lead to? He says, mercy. How that mercy manifest? Swarati Mani Dau. They give attachment to their lotus feet. In the form, that is the form of mercy that they will give. So I will get attached, right? So the Bhagavad Gita explains in great detail that if we have indifference to Krishna or lack of attachment to Krishna, it manifests in the form of attachment to matter, right? Dayo Vishayan Pumsa Sangasteshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Amat Krodo Vijayate Krodat Bhavati Sammohat Sammohat Smriti Vibhrama Smriti Bramshat Buddhinasho Buddhinashat. So in this way, he discusses, if we are not attached to Krishna, gradually our mind gets attached to things of this world, meditates on it, it leads to attachment, attachment leads to Kama, then Kama leads to, when not fulfilled, leads to Krodha, Krodha leads to Sammoha, right? Sammoha leads to Smriti Vibhrama, Smriti Bramshad, Buddhi Nasho, like that, right? So, and I'm really sorry, actually, Kama Prabhu had asked this question, you know, what is the difference between Sammoha, Smriti Vibhrama and Buddhi Nasha, right? So I will just add a slide here just to indicate that, because I totally forgot and I got carried away, so I forgot to answer that question. So I will just add a slide just to explain this point. Okay, so Krishna says, what is the effect? Lack of attachment to Krishna. He says, first is dhyayato dhyan. Okay. Meditation on sense objects. So it leads to Sangha. It's attachment to them. Then he says Sangha leads to Kama. Kama means a deep desire to enjoy. Okay. And this Kama, when fulfilled, leads to Lobha, greed. When unfulfilled, leads to the anger. Okay. And whether it is greed or anger leads to what is called as sammoha. Sammoha is intense absorption in raga and dvesha, which takes all our space. Okay. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Mohat smriti vibhrama. Smriti vibhrama means loss of all memory about our plans to overcome sense gratification. When we get so absorbed, then while we are in while we are not so distracted and while we are in good intentions, we would have thought, okay, next time an opportunity for sense gratification comes, you know, I should do this, I should protect myself in this way, I should protect myself in that way. So all those plans, the many of those plans are lost. When we become intensely absorbed in enjoying object of our sense gratification, and when we become intensely absorbed in avoiding all the obstacles which may stop our sense gratification. So this leads to Smriti Vibhrama. So the next step, Smriti Vibhrama, after Smriti Vibhrama is Buddhi Nasho. So Buddhi Nasha means loss of determination to fight. Loss of determination to fight the battle. Because you are not able to, just like if someone goes to an exam and sits there and he completely blanks out, right? Completely blanks out, does not remember anything. He looks at the question, looks at the answer sheet, and then he blanks out. Nothing he is able to recollect, right? So that is called as, that is Smriti Vibhrama. And when he cannot remember anything, then he loses the determination to write and endeavor to pass that exam. He loses the determination. So that is called as Buddhi Nasha. Actually, Smriti and determination, both are actually aspects of intelligence only. But still, there is a discrimination that is mentioned. First, the memory is lost, and then the determination is lost. Then Buddhi Nashat Pranashyati. Pranashyati means a living entity swims in material sense gratification. This is the meaning of Buddhi Nashat Pranashyati. He literally keeps swimming in sense gratification with no desire to escape it. Okay. So this is the effect of lack of attachment to Krishna. And gradually, through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyamatmani, Vedanam, all performed in the association of, very inspiring association of devotees, gradually, when our mind gets attached to Krishna, then slowly the things are reverted back. Less and less we will meditate on the sense objects, and our attachment to sense objects will become little more loose. Our deep desires to enjoy will become little more weak, and we will be less and less troubled by lobha and krodha when they are taken away. Sometimes you may be able to see when we don't get more and don't get an opportunity for lobha, when we when what we have is lost, you know, instead of krodha, we may be able to see it as mercy of Krishna sometimes. Oh, good that I did not get it. So therefore, you know, I am not able to, I am not suffering like that. And then eventually that intense absorption will also become weak, little less intense. And then sometimes we may even be able to remember the various plans that we had planned to overcome sense gratification, and it may work also. And by that little bit, we may get some determination to fight this urge for sense gratification also. In that way, instead of pranashyati, he may get the inspiration to actually thrive in a spiritual life, right? So therefore, janma koti sukrutairna labhyate krishna bhakti rasabhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukrutairna labhyate. So therefore, somehow or other, if we are able to find that kind of right association and do the right kind of activities so that we can develop some attachment to Krishna, then gradually this can help us overcome the urge for sense gratification, which can actually trap us in this material world. So, kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. So, if you can, if it is available, be willing to pay any price for attaining it. Krishna bhakti sabhavita mati. A consciousness which can be absorbed in serving Krishna, giving pleasure to Krishna, giving pleasure to Guru. Whatever may be conducive, whatever action may be conducive for one to develop that consciousness, one should try to do. Kutopi labhyate. Somehow or other, one should purchase it. Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. So that laulyam, greed is the only price through which we can purchase that. Janma koti sukrutairna labhyate. And that greed cannot be purchased through actually unlimited amount of sukriti or pious activities. You know, one cannot actually purchase that. Janma koti sukritairna labhyate, like that. So this is the effect of attachment to Krishna. Effect of lack of attachment to Krishna is this. So therefore, whatever can help us develop attachment to Krishna, we should do it at any cost, right? That's what it is mentioned here. But the original problem, so therefore the original problem is that we turned our face away from Krishna. Therefore, this whole series started. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsam, and so on. So therefore, he says, the main problem is we are not bothered about the existence of Krishna. Even though theoretically we may know that Krishna exists, we have to worship Krishna and all that, but we have a very lukewarm, lackadaisical mood towards worshipping Krishna. Therefore, Narada Muni says, rather than being lukewarm, at least it is even better to have strong hatred or fear of Krishna, because that is actually recognizing the presence of Krishna as a very powerful person, right? So therefore he says, Gopya kamat bayat kamso dvesha chaidyadayo nrpa sambandad vrishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Gopis through their conjugal affection, and Kamsa through his fear, and Shishupal and other inimical kings through their inimical nature, they developed our Pandavas and the Yadus through their affectionate feelings. they developed attachment to Krishna. So he says that it is better to at least be negatively attached to Krishna. Of course, it's not a recommendation, but certainly rather than be lackadaisical and completely not bothered about the presence of Krishna, is to at least have some negative attachment, like that it is mentioned. So therefore, here he says, Bhagamana, you worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, because if you worship them, you can attract their mercy, and if you attract their mercy, they will give attachment. And if they give you attachment to their own lotus feet, then this whole cycle of samsara will stop. Right? So mercy is the only means of developing attachment. Right? And we get that, that's what is mentioned here, right? Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Bij. Somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we may receive the seed of devotional service. And bhakti is such that is Bhakti Devi is completely independent. She may choose to come to a particular person, she may choose not to come. Right? So even though Bhakti Devi may choose to come or choose not to come, that she is definitely independent, but that does not mean that we should not endeavor, right? We should definitely endeavor. This is what we learned from the Damodar Leela also, you know, two fingers, two short, mercy and endeavor, right? And he gives these two extreme examples of the Catholics and the Protestants, right? We had a long discussion about this. So the Catholics and Protestants. Okay, so the Catholics, they introduce this theme of indulgence, right? Indulgence means you don't need to have faith also. If you want to get redeemed by Jesus, all you need to do is to contribute some money for the building of the church, you know. So give donations. And it does not really matter how much faith you have. So this is one extreme of the pendulum. Okay. Only endeavor category. Okay. And this was not appreciated by Martin Luther, who was the proponent of the Protestant faith. So he said, no, all that you need is faith. Faith in Lord's mercy. Of course, this was spoken in good, with a good intent only, but people took it to such an extreme level that they mentioned that only mercy, right? Only mercy, no endeavor. So they said that it does not really matter. As long as I have faith, it is sufficient. It does not really matter what I do. Okay. This is another end of the pendulum. So both took it to extreme degrees, and we saw that this is seen sometimes in many Vaishnava sampradayas also, where they take it to one extreme, telling that everything depends on mercy. As long as I say I surrender to Krishna, then it does not matter what I do. Okay, so he is only making me do. So this is a very dangerous philosophy, actually, right? So we discussed about this. The Protestant said that all that I need to do is to declare that I believe in Jesus, and that's it. So Krishna also says, no, there are symptoms of surrender. There are symptoms of faith. As we saw last time, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. So he says that there are symptoms of surrender. He says that if one with faith accepts the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, then he will not have to take birth again and he will attain my abode. So someone may say, oh, I believe in the transcendental nature of your birth and activities. So give me liberation. So Krishna says, oh ho, then let me do the litmus. So in the next verse, is the litmus test verse. Whether do you have the true symptoms of understand of having that faith in the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities? He says, Vitaraga Bayakroda Manmayamam Upashrita Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Puta Madbhava Magata. He says that such a person will be completely free of raga. One who has perfect faith in the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities will be freed from any kind of attachment to things or people of this world. That is Vita Raga. Then there is Vita Bhaya. He will not be fearful of, the Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik, Adhidaivik, Kleshas and other such fears in this material world. And Krodha, when he sees people with opposing ideologies, he will not become angry because he is so firmly and peacefully rooted in his own proper understanding of the Siddhanta that when he sees a person with an opposing ideology, he will not unnecessarily become angry. Okay, three symptoms he has mentioned. Vita Raga, Vita Bhaya, Vita Krodha. And then Man Maya. And such a person's mind will always be absorbed in Krishna and nothing else. And Maam Upashrita. And he would have taken complete shelter of me. Meaning, complete shelter of Krishna through the process of pure devotional service. Not karma, jnana or yoga. So these are the symptoms of a person who has that true nature of transcendental faith. So therefore, people cannot fool around, tell that, oh, I believe. So this is what the Protestants said. So, but you should have some kind of proper symptom of faith. What is the symptom of that faith? Okay. So that's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that there are symptoms of faith. Right. So therefore, we should refrain from this extremist mentality. So we must pray and simultaneously row because God helps those who help themselves. So he says, if you are in the middle of an ocean in a fragile boat and a storm is raging, what should you do? Should you just pray or row? He says, both, right? Like they say, pray as if everything depends on mercy and work as if everything depends on your endeavor. Right, that is the mode of our acharyas. Mercy is the source of everything, but this does not mean that we should not make any effort. So this is the first theme that we saw about developing attachment to through mercy. And the next topic that we discussed last time was asadvarta, which is mundane topics or prajalpa, which is compared to a prostitute, right? We saw that how endeavor attracts mercy and mercy creates attachment. Now the question is, what type of endeavor is required to attract mercy? One very important endeavor which can attract that mercy is a conscious effort to overcome the influence of prajalpa, right? So he talks about how varta means news. So attachment to mundane news of this world is definitely like a prostitute, right? So he says that what will the prostitute do? She will rob her customers when they have relaxed and fallen asleep. Okay. And he says this is what the unreal news of this world would do to us. It will rob us of all our spiritual intelligence, right? So, and the prostitutes dress themselves in a very, very attractive way. And in the same way, this whole news industry, attracts itself in such an attractive way. So, our minds are completely drawn to it and get absorbed in it. But the ultimate purpose of the prostitutes, even though they look very attractive, is to eventually rob the customer of all the money that he has, right? So he says, and he gives the example of Akbar and Birbal. Akbar jokes with Birbal, telling, "Oh, your scriptures talk about existence of apsaras and existence of these witches. You know what, Birbal? I want to see an apsara and a witch because your shastras talk about it. So can you get me an apsara and a witch?" Birbal says, "Sure, tomorrow I will get." So he first goes to his wife and asks her to get ready for the next day. And he also goes to another prostitute, one of the most beautiful prostitutes. And she also says, "Okay, you have to come to the king's court tomorrow." So both of them agree. So the next day he brings them and he covers their face with their wheels, the wheel of their sari. And he says that Akbar asks, "Oh, so you have brought the apsara and the witch." So he says, "Yes, my lord, whom do you want to see first?" And he says that, "Okay, show me the apsara first." And he opens the face of his old wife, who had grown old and she had a wrinkled face. And she was not that good looking also. And Akbar was completely sort of shocked. He says, "Is this an apsara?" He says that this is just an ugly old woman. He said, "No, no, my lord, this is the apsara. She is my wife and she's so chaste, so kind and so affectionate. Actually, she takes care of me like no other apsara would do. So therefore, she is the true apsara." So then he says, okay, now show me the witch then. So he opened the wheel of the other woman and Akbar was so fascinated. She says, "Oh, she must be the apsara. Whom did you show me before?" So Birbal said, "No, my dear lord, she is the actual witch. Because the moment you are alone, she will suck all the blood from you," like that. So he says that these kind of things which can rob our consciousness away from Krishna in this material world are actually very attractive. And the news of this material world, Asadvarta, is like that. Huh? That people gladly get distracted in one sense, actually, because it's so attractive. And Maharaj gives the example of one of his own disciples. He said that, he had fallen trapped to another woman who ended up seducing him. And he actually came and told Maharaj, "Maharaj, please forgive me. I could not resist the temptation and she seduced me." And Maharaj could sense that even though he was sort of begging forgiveness, but there was no sense of regret in his heart. And eventually he asked, "Anyway, I succumbed to my temptation. So can I as well get married to her?" And to which Maharaj said, "No, of course not." And he said, no, Maharaj, actually, I will try my best to make her into a very good devotee. Then we can live happily ever after in Krishna consciousness." So Maharaj was telling, so we have this deeply hidden desire or just hope to enjoy in this material world. And that is the main problem. Okay. So this prostitute is all this WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, newspaper, TV, all these things. So that hope lives in our heart and that somehow I can be happy through all these things, right? So therefore, for very meager pleasures, we are endeavoring so hard. Sukaya karmani karoti loko natai sukam vanya duparamamba. Even though every living entity is endeavoring this material world to overcome suffering and get more and more enjoyment, but the result of that endeavor is actually very disappointing. But still, the nature of this material world is so attractive that we never give up our endeavor, right? So how much ever we may get frustrated in our endeavor for enjoying the material world, Just hold on. Actually, it is mentioned. They say sambhog to samadhi, right? Sambhog to samadhi. So this philosophy says that you keep enjoying, keep enjoying, keep enjoying, but because the nature of this material world is chapala sukha and chapala sukha, very insignificant pleasure, eventually you will get frustrated about it and you will get detached from it, or you will aspire for liberation, right? But this is a false philosophy. Okay, this is a false philosophy. This is absolutely not true, because there is ample description of the mentality of people in hell, right? So Bhagavatam says, narakastopi deham vai puman na tyaktum icchati. Kapiladev says that even in hell, people are going to more intense kind of suffering. You know, someone is getting roasted in hot oil. Someone is allowed to swim in a river filled with mucus, pus, urine. Someone is being bitten by dogs, and someone is being bitten by snakes and all that. But amidst all that, there is some very, very meager kind of pleasure, because of which the whole no one wants to die even in hell. So therefore, actually, if you see, if some, how much ever one may be frustrated in one's endeavor to enjoy in this material world, that hope does not go away. So one does not become, often we think that a person, when he is completely frustrated with enjoying in this material world, then he becomes a jnana yogi. Okay. So this is a wrong understanding, actually. This is not right. So jnana yoga is not a product of material, or rather qualification for jnana yoga. Qualification for jnana yoga is not a product of material frustration. It is a product of material detachment, born out of purification of heart. Because often we hear that if one is materially frustrated, he will become a jnana yogi. This is not at all true. Jnana yoga is not so cheap. Then you will find, most people of this world becoming jnana yogis. Actually, frustration, material frustration, does not necessarily lead to qualification for jnana yoga. Actually, it leads to, some temporary disgust, and then ultimately they again get fresh hope, and then they start endeavoring in another direction, right? But the qualification for jnana yoga is a product of material detachment, which is born out of purification of heart. So therefore, this principle or theory of sambhog to samadhi is absolutely ridiculous proposition, right? So this is not at all true, that you keep enjoying, keep enjoying, keep enjoying, and at some point you will get frustrated, and you will accept the path of liberation. This is not right. Okay, so But the nature of material enjoyment is that we will get some unhappiness. These are the two sides of the same coin. So he says that as long as one has this hope for enjoyment in this material world, we cannot give up temptation. Okay. So, and last time Maharaj was quoting Upad, how he mentions that our subconscious mind is like a photographic film, right? Those film cameras which we used to have before, right? So he says that our subconscious mind is like a film camera, and the samskaras are the undeveloped image on the film. You know, as soon as you go through a particular experience, so clicking the camera is material sense gratificatory experience. So as soon as you have a material sense gratificatory experience, you know the samskara is stored in the, it's like the undeveloped image which is stored in that film. Okay, and then you know, then you put the film in a developer solution that creates the photograph, that is the environment or prajalpa. Okay, so the environment, you know, if a particular environment comes, right? So like then those you know, it acts as the developer solution, and those samskaras are developed into sinful activities or material activities of sense gratification, right? So therefore he says that that we have to choose our environment very judiciously. So while the practice of bhakti will slowly wipe out the samskaras, the undeveloped image on the film itself will be wiped out, but before that we have to endeavor to not put ourselves in an environment which would act as developer solution for those undeveloped images which will lead to photograph, right? So while the samskaras are there, we should be careful to choose our external environment in such a way that those undeveloped images do not actually manifest into very well developed sinful activities or material activities of sense gratification. Okay, so and then another example Maharaj gives is that when the spiritual master sows the seed of bhakti in our hearts, the seed of faith it needs the seed of faith it needs watering in order to grow, right? Shravana kirtana jale kare shochan shechan. So the seed is sown by Guru Krishna Prasadepaya Bhakti Lata Beach, but then by again by the right kind of sound vibration, it acts as the water for this beach to get fructified and grow luxuriantly, right? So hearing and chanting Shravanam and Kirtanam is the water for that seed, right? But there are many other seeds in our hearts growing alongside the small seed of bhakti, the Bhakti Lata Beach. We have been planting them for a long time. So, and these seeds also grow by the principle of sound vibration, and that sound vibration is actually material prajalpa. Okay, so therefore Maharaj says we must stop listening to the news of the world, because otherwise these images of material pleasures will be constantly growing in our subconscious mind. So Krishna says, so that's what. Yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyatitarishyati tadagantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya srutasya. When our consciousness and buddhi or intellect go beyond the boundaries of this material world, or when we are free from the illusion of this material world, then we can remove the desire to hear this Gramya Katha. So therefore, we have to a favorable environment till we develop that kind of detachment is very important. So therefore, In if you remember in the first verse itself, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami mentioned, Sada Dambam Hitva. Give up this material identity, give up this material upadis. And how, what are the various kinds of material upadis, or what are the various aspects of this material upadis, actually is described in verse number 4 onwards till 7th, in the 4 verses, right? So one of the first things that we are discussing is prajalpa. Okay, so therefore we have to beg our mind to give up these various flavors of self deception which can take us away from Krishna. Okay, so he says that in this world we easily develop affection and become attached to various things, but mostly we grow attached to what gives us pleasure or that we can exploit. So he gives, a woman may be very attached to her husband if he can be exploited. The same is true with the wife also. Okay, so therefore in the very first verse Raghunath Das Goswami advises mind, oh my dear mind, become attached to that in relation to which even the thought of enjoying will not occur, right? Otherwise, if we keep on hearing and repeating empty, meaningless talk, then we will lose completely our spiritual attachment. So our entire life follows our tongue. So last time we saw, tongue has one karmendriya, one jnanendriya. And the ability to taste is the jnanendriya, right? So either ways, the tongue is most voracious, because if the tongue eats palatable foodstuff, then it will make the belly and genitals very, very strong and powerful. Then it becomes very difficult to control the other senses. And if at the same time, if the tongue engages in vibrating mundane subject matter, then again it becomes very difficult to control the other senses, because that is the means of which we... So the first result of gossip is that we become indifferent to bhakti. The activities of bhakti or the limbs of devotional service, slowly we start losing interest in them. Okay. And conversely, the taste for worldly news grows more and more powerful. Okay. So the first result of gossip is that we become indifferent to bhakti. And the second result is that we become very eagerly attached to worldly news. Okay, this is the second result of gossip. Okay, so he says that first, in early days, people wrote books by hand, then they invented the printing press. And he says that the first printing press was invented in order to print the Bible, but later they started printing all kinds of junk matter, and then radio came. Then, in the most remarkable achievement of Kali Yuga is the internet. So we were going to discuss about the internet. So before we start that, so this is where we ended our discussion last week. It was a fairly long recap. But before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick comments, reflections, thoughts, questions that you might want to share, you can please raise your hands. I will unmute you. We can have a discussion. Navadvip Chandra Prabhu, I am unmuting you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Dhanvat Pranam. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. So Prabhu, my question was, you said that, or Maharaj said that when we have to avoid the environment which would help to develop the samskaras to images. So, but in today's day and age, it becomes so difficult to avoid the environment. Like you are walking and some film song is going on, and immediately the that undeveloped film turns to an image. So how do we, like, correct, it becomes correct, very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, specific, at least if we have some positive engagement, you know, then if we are going in that way, in such a situation, then we could be better prepared. Like, we have some Prabhupada lecture or some bhajan kirtan, something going on in our ear, that at least we can protect ourselves. You know, case to case basis, you know, different, you know, all of us have different challenges. So specific challenges, we can sit and discuss, we can evaluate ourselves, we can discuss with other devotees. Okay, this is my situation. What do we do? So the specific situation that you have brought, you know, some cinema song. So we might as well, you know, have some, you know, kirtan or some lecture going on. That is one way of doing it. Is that relevant?
Okay, yes, yes. Thank you.
Anything else anyone would like to add or ask or share some reflections, thoughts based on what we have discussed today? Anyone? You can raise your hands. I'll wait for a few seconds. Anything? Okay. So if there are no discussion points, then we'll go ahead to today's discussion. We'll continue. We are discussing on this theme of Prajalpa. So we'll continue this discussion. Right. So the specific aspect of Prajalpa that we started discussing last time was internet, right? The very meaning of the word net means to catch, and it catches our minds and consciousness. I think all of us can write books about this, right? Either in our own personal experience or you know, our near and dear ones. So, I mean, that's what these products have been manufactured with, that purpose only. Okay. So, I mean, at least we should definitely plan to minimize. So this planning is very important. We should keep on planning, keep on praying. Okay. So these are two things that we can do. So how do we minimize our screen time? Okay. So how do we minimize our screen time? First thing, plan. So planning is very important. Second is praying. It's also very important. Okay. So we need to keep praying, Krishna, please protect me. The third aspect is engagement. Okay. So we need to have productive engagement. You know, because only we are free we should have surround ourselves with good association, right? So first thing is we have to plan, because we should have tangible plan for executing it. This includes a getting distracted is free time and free space. Okay, so when there is free time and free space, then this is and free internet. So this is very dangerous combination, right? Free time, free space, and free internet. So this is, so therefore, engagement, fruitful engagement with, you know, you can say some accountability. Okay. So fruitful engagement with some accountability will take away that free time. And surrounding ourselves with good association can take away the free space. And when free time and free space is not there, then it is very helpful actually. Any other thing that you tried and it helped you, you can please share if you have something to share. You can please raise your hands, because I think this is a very relevant topic. So, yes, Venkat Govind Prabhu, I am unmuting.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Prabhu.
Prabhu, after we started listening your initial classes during the lockdown, we decided to turn off our TV completely. We were earlier looking some news and other things, but then we have completely disconnected TV, and now TV is out of our life. So thanks to you, you know, for starting the classes during the lockdown, which kept us engaged in a better engagement than in mundane news and things like that.
It kept me also engaged, bro. Thank you very much.
Just wanted to share with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else would like to share something? Something you tried and it worked for you? You can share it with others. This will become very valuable Vaishnava Seva for others. Anyone? Okay. So if no one would like to share, so we will continue, right? So, okay, I think I see. Okay, Shyam Kund Prabhu, I am unmuting you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. There is one aspect of the internet that you have mentioned here. Working in this IT sector, I have also found there is another problem, which you also mentioned. It is the screen time. And working for too long in front of the screen conditions the mind to just think in terms of working in front of a computer. And often it removes some finer, depreciates the finer elements of our nature itself. I started realizing it of late, and I think it is helpful to allocate a time to spend with real people rather than just being with an inert object.
Amazing. Okay. I mean, it's so unfortunate that actually something which has to naturally happen, we have to actually allocate time to spend with real people. But that is the world that we are living in. So, and that is to what extent our profession or our lifestyle has taken us. So this is very wonderful point. Allocate time to spend with real people. Oh, this is wonderful point. Yeah, thank you very much, Shyam Kund Prabhu. Otherwise, I think, as Shyamkund Prabhu mentioned, we will lose our, our, you can say, like, our ability to have meaningful emotional exchanges with people. So otherwise, people, are standing in front of us, and we are so consumed by the urge to reconnect with my virtual world, right? When a person who can give, have a meaningful emotional exchange, is standing there, we are so consumed by our urge to actually reconnect with this virtual reality. So in this way, we become actually completely inert people. So we stop valuing human exchanges, human interactions. So that way we become extremely gross, actually. Dulled, completely dull. So therefore, I mean, it might help for, especially for those people whose profession requires them to spend a lot of time in front of screen. There is no choice, actually, because you have to earn your living. So at least, we should actually allocate specific time to spend with real people. This is very important. Thank you very much, Shyamkund Prabhu, for sharing this. Prithviraj Prabhu, would you like to share?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So basically, through practical application, what worked for me, I would like to share that. First of all, the social media platforms, like if I talk of Facebook, earlier it used to consume a significant time. So what I did here, that I used Facebook to only birthday wishes, because more than 1,000 friends were there, So there will be always, I saw that more than 10 number of birthday will pop up. So earlier I used to scroll and see, all these photographs and all. But now, yes, I am only, whenever I have time, let's say there is an urge to go to Facebook, and I will just wish them, and like, Krishna should bless, make Krishna bless you, and some elongated message, not just that happy birthday. Okay, so that basically consumes some time and also connect with the people. That is one. And then of course your time will go away, and then you allocate, you change to other tasks. And in WhatsApp group, I means, of course, in this lockdown period, I connected to, like you mentioned here, surround with good people association. So lot of bhakti groups I joined, devotee associations. So even the more than my capacity. So every time there is a pop-up, this class is going on, that program is going on. So basically, out of that, you can choose. And most of the time, of your choice, something will be there. And then you can associate with that. That's another thing. And also, understanding vulnerability of this social media. So I didn't increase, like the Twitter, Instagram. So wherever you are not there, I restrict myself. It's not required. And wherever I there, I just use it in a reverse category. And another thing, so sometimes in office, like another devotee said, so whenever we are there, we have time. So what I did, like the slokas, because when I purchased those small books written by Gaurangarsan Prabhu, so I used to go through them, and whenever there is time, I used to recap, but then I will not able to do it properly. Then I use internet to search that verse, and then try to memorize, and that's how that time also is gone. So these are a couple of things thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you. Madhavi Gopi Mataji, what would you like to share?
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji, I can hear you.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Prabhuji, I felt that this internet thing and all the media, like this increases our capabilities to sense control. Means that was my experience, because we can't, as a devotee, we can't completely keep it aside. At the same time, like what we are doing right now, the classes and all during all the corona period, that all is due to the internet only. But then we have, as a devotee, we have to have that complete control that what I'm going to choose from this and what I really don't need and I must reject it or that way. Because otherwise, even if, means this is my experience, even if we open WhatsApp, we do open it for certain thing, I open it, that some important message has to be sent or some program message has to be sent, something like that. And then you see two, three other things which have come up in devotee circle only, which need to be answered, or then your priority suddenly changes after opening the WhatsApp. And then after 10 minutes, you realize, oh, I have invested this 10 minutes in this, which I was not intending to do. But this just came up. So I felt this has improved my prioritization, at the same time sense control, that where I really want to do things and I really don't want to. Like Facebook, for certain period I had started it, but then even in the devotee circle I realized that it is taking too much of time and I can't afford that much time, and I almost I have completely stopped the Facebook now, that I just don't want to go into it. So that was my experience, like that it helps in sense control more than, because there you are amidst a lot of attractions and you need to control your mind.
Yes, thank you very much. And another point that has been shared by some devotees on the chat box, one thing is one thing is screen time lock. Okay, you know, there are facilities to do that. If you would like to do it, might help some devotees. Another thing is actually no screen time before you complete your sadhana. Okay, this is another suggestion that has been given. And another thing is, as we discussed before, engagement, especially in the identify your vulnerable times. And have some engagement or classes like that. So like that, these are some things that have been shared. So that is a very wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, you can, and you can increase your rounds. You know, you can, today I chanted more than 16. I had some extra time. You know, that's wonderful. You know, so this is really nice. Chant extra. Right. Govind Ghosh Prabhu, you would like to share something?
Hare Krishna Bhoji, Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji.
Dandavat Prabhu.
Like this like for us devotees, like first of all, even not, we are not having Facebook and all, but even WhatsApp is a big distraction. Because and it becomes a habit like this, ki throughout the day we are just switching on the internet, some message has come or some message has come, full day like goes like that. It becomes like addictive thing. We are not understanding only that we are getting addicted.
Yeah.
So what I felt switching to a, like from long time I was thinking switching to another phone that can helped me, I think, mm-hmm. with this thing. So first I tried with small 4G phone. Yes, please. Mm. A small 4G like phone, but the thing...
Yeah, go ahead.
A separate phone for like doing other things. Like if WhatsApp is there, then that is on mm-hmm. another Android phone. But the mm-hmm. smaller phone has some another thing, but that 4G phones, like because this the modern providers, they are like but comparatively cheaper also, because cannot afford mm-hmm. like another providers. So I took a smaller mm-hmm. phone, but the thing is that to transfer contacts between mm-hmm. these things, this old phone and new phone, it's a big mess, and many things are not there.
Yeah.
So again, I was thinking what to do. Mm-hmm. Then I took another Android, but that thing is like, first of all, in the previous phone mm-hmm. only, so many things are blocked only. We have Brahmacharis, fellow devotees, they are locking our room is locked or something is locked. Only WhatsApp, that is also, it's a very big distraction. So for preaching purposes, mm-hmm. we send some message, that can be done only on specific times. Other than that, the phone is comparatively, like nowadays, what I'm doing is like for this sadhana and all purpose lectures and all, like in this lockdown, what helped me a lot, like so many courses were there. Gaurang Darshan 2, mm-hmm. Chaitanya Prabhu is doing, you are also doing another another course.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big impetus to hear, and the free time was gone. Another thing that this internet facility is there on this mobile only, but it has no WhatsApp and all. So only for phoning and phone call and all. And another good thing is that we can send messages also, and if required. Well, because in small button messages, that is a difficult thing, and contacts and all can also be synced in it. But similarly, in this phone, room and all can be locked, like similar way. There is no distraction, only this is like acting as a button phone. Because for Zoom and all, we can use it. And free Wi-Fi also causes a big distraction, but I feel if we are themselves losing our option.
What I mentioned, free internet, right?
Yes.
Free time, free space, free internet. You know, so this is the big problem. Okay.
And another thing.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
So like same not done our sadhana first of all, like reading good amount of our 64 rounds mm-hmm. on Ekadashi and all. But in that time, there is no need also to see mm-hmm. all this. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. And also to have realistic targets. Okay, if you have free time, give targets to the mind. Spiritual targets. So many verses memorization per week, or so many chapters per month, or whatever. Whatever is realistic for you, and keep such targets and try to meet those targets, and create an accountability system also. Otherwise, we will not take it very sincerely, right? Like that. Anyway, so this is really nice. So, came up with some very good inspiring means of overcoming these things. So I think this is at home. We can all try. Whatever is possible, we will try to implement. So, so Maharaj says there are statistics from 2013 that revealed more than 100 people died from the internet simply because they could not stop. They forgot about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, just surfing the internet for days on end. Which means this is really actually as addictive as drugs. Actually, people, when you take, the phone or the internet away from a person, especially those who are very much attached, the kind of symptoms that they show is very similar to the kind of symptoms shown by drug addicts when you take away the drugs from them, the kind of symptoms. So therefore, followers of the spiritual path must remember asad varta vesya visirja. They need to exercise extreme caution. Srila Jiva Goswami says that when we commit an offense in our practice of devotional service, one of the effects of these offenses is that we become attached to the very things that destroy our bhakti. Okay. So this is, so therefore, another very important thing is avoid offenses. Else, it will lead to asat trishna. Okay. We will get attracted to things of this world. So this is a very important thing. Okay, we are doing all these things, but the most important thing is we have to avoid offensive mentality. Right? Many devotees love watching television, but it is a most dangerous invention. Right? Perhaps we should introduce a fifth principle in ISKCON that everyone receiving initiation should follow no watching TV. Right? Mati Sarvasva Harani. Here Raghunath Das Goswami says that spiritual intelligence is completely gone. The most dangerous and despicable form of worldly news that completely destroys our spiritual intelligence or consciousness is when we begin criticizing others. Okay. So criticism is the first form of prajalpa. Right? We immediately start, gliding down from our spiritual path. Our enthusiasm to progress is severely compromised. When we start criticizing others. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Paraswabhava karmani ya prashamsati nindati sa ashu brashyate swarthat asati abhiniveshata. He says, Paraswabhava karmani. If one may talk about other people's nature or other people's activities, in the form of prasamshati, it may even be glorifying, or it may be nindati, criticizing. So if one glorifies the material qualities or material activities of others, or criticizes the material qualities or material activities of others, he says, sa ashu brashyate swarthad. Such a person very quickly gets distracted from his goal of life. Why? Asati abhiniveshataha. Because of his absorption in the temporary things of this world. So, one may say that what is wrong with glorification? Criticism is bad. What is wrong with glorification? Because in glorifying also, we are actually glorifying the material aspect. Right? So, we may appreciate, okay, what the Prime Minister of India has done so nicely, he is really doing good governance or whatever. These things actually, it starts with this kind of, we are not criticizing anyone, right? We are only glorifying, but this glorification will gradually lead to more and more severe forms of mundane talk actually. So basically it will take our absorption away from Krishna. So anything that takes our absorption away from Krishna, even if it is an act of glorification, is actually distracting us from our attaining our goal of life, right? So Krishna says, because his mind is immediately devoured, ephemeral means temporary. Our consciousness is devoured by this illusion and we forget what we truly need, right? So, I don't know what happened, why I am not able to. We sometimes appreciate to encourage them to develop relation and help them to do some service to Krishna. Of course, that kind of appreciation is always that if we appreciate to encourage them so that they can come closer to Krishna, that is not really, that is fine. That we should definitely do. But here I am talking about two people coming together and talking about how our Prime Minister has done a really good job in good governance. So, I mean, whom is it going to inspire in Krishna consciousness in one sense, right? So that is definitely, even though it is a glorification, but that kind of glorification is like, or another popular topic of discussion is, for no reason. It's not like someone is really suffering or anything. It's like, what do you think is better? Is it Ayurveda or allopathy or homeopathy? When someone is really suffering and they are really looking for some solution, that is fine. But otherwise, I think Ayurveda is better. There are no side effects like that. You may start discussing. And then the other person may say, there may be no side effect, but there is no real effect also like that. And slowly, this kind of discussion, through this kind of discussion, you start rubbing the other person's false ego, his attachment. And then slowly, he starts offending, and then he starts offending, and then it becomes more aggressive. Then in this way, it leads to more and more serious forms of prajalpa, even though it has started in a very, innocent way like that, right? This is the meaning of what is happening when we start criticizing others. Okay. So we completely forget what our true need is. In this verse, Krishna also says that even glorifying others is bad because both are actually food for the false ego. If you criticize others, their false ego gets rubbed in the wrong direction. And if you glorify them in a material way, that also acts as food for the false ego only, right? So as soon as I critique or reproach others, especially behind their backs, my false ego is nourished and becomes stronger and stronger, right? Because that is our problem. Because no one glorifies us, or people may not glorify us as much as we might want to. So therefore, we have a perverted way of feeling good. If we are not getting that feel good, mood through others glorifying, then we have a ready-made solution for that. We start criticizing others, and in the form of criticizing others, we end up feeling good. Because ultimately, our pleasure is to see ourselves higher than others. That you can do when others glorify us as being very good, or if that does not happen, you start pulling others down, right? So when we praise others, we often do so to receive some benefit for ourselves. Praising someone is also food for others' false ego. For almost every person can be bought by flattery, no matter how renowned they are. If you start glorifying them by flattering them, you can purchase them, right? So Maharaj gives a very interesting story. We will just read that story. Hold on for 1 second. Okay. So Maharaj says, when Abraham Lincoln, one of America's early presidents, was a boy, on the way to school one day he visited a blacksmith's forge, so where the blacksmith was working. He went to the blacksmith and watched as he worked. So he was watching how the blacksmith was working. It so happened that day that the blacksmith's assistant had not come. Seeing the boy, the blacksmith thought, let me make use of him. Okay, anyway, my assistant has not come and here is a boy standing. I think I can make use of him. So what did the blacksmith do? He said, so the blacksmith began to praise Abraham Lincoln saying, oh, what a clever boy. He has not gone to school. Instead, he has come here. This is where exciting things happen. What a good boy. Come, give me a hand here. Hold this. He said that, oh, I can see that you are really intelligent. Because intelligent boys do school. There is a lot of excitement, which is a blacksmith's shop. So now I will show you what excitement is. You please, can you come hold this? So Lincoln started helping the blacksmith as the praise went on and on. So the blacksmith kept on praising the boy, right? What a boy, amazing. I have never seen such an obedient boy like that. Abraham Lincoln said, I spent 4 hours in that shop and I was constantly praised. I thought I would never escape from there. Since then, when someone praises me, I know that he needs something from me. Right? Like that. But of course, we should not do that. Okay? We should not engage in that kind of flattering of others just to get something from them. But others may do. And it is not that we need to keep suspecting everyone. They're always praising me, which means he may need something from me. That is all not necessary. We need not do that. But at the same time, we should not be engaged in just like that flattering someone to get something in return. Right? Therefore, Krishna says, asati abhiveshataha. Whether someone criticizes or praises others, his mind begins to be devoured by the ephemeral, temporary. Such a person loses his spiritual intelligence. So, what is the meaning of losing spiritual intelligence? 3 things. First is, he loses spiritual memory. Second thing, is he loses spiritual discrimination. What is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, right? And third thing is, he loses determination to progress. Okay? So in this way, this is the meaning of, such a person loses his spiritual intelligence means he loses his spiritual memory, he loses his spiritual discrimination, and he loses determination to progress. So, therefore, we should not unnecessarily be engaged in, glorifying mundane things, like that. Or even criticizing mundanity. Both praise and blasphemy are based on the fact that we envy that person. We either want to praise and glorify someone for something material which is not really there, or we criticize them because of envy. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains the mechanism of how human consciousness focuses on matter as a result of prajalpa, and especially as a result of the false so-called pleasure we get from so on. So Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how this asat abhinivesh happens through prajalpa. So how does absorption in temporary happen through Prajalpa. Okay. So how does this happen? What is the mechanism? Okay. So here Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he says the result of criticizing someone is that our material desires gain strength and our false ego is nourished. Okay. This is the first thing that happens. When we criticize someone, then our material desires gain strength and our false ego gets nourished. Criticism is the best vitamin supplement for false ego, because as soon as we start criticizing, our material desires grow stronger. Okay. So especially we criticize devotees, it's very quick way of actually enhancing our material desires. It starts raging actually. Srila Prabhupada explains this with the story of Ramachandra Puri narrated by Paramananda Puri to Lord Chaitanya. So this is the story, right? How Ramachandra Puri, his material desires increased because of criticism. So what happened? On his deathbed, Madhavendra Puri was experiencing the ecstasy of separation from Krishna, and he kept repeating the same verse that somehow or other he had not attained his Lord, the Lord of Mathura. So he was lamenting, oh, I have not. This was a mood of devotional separation. This was actually ecstasy. He was crying, where are you, Krishna? Like that. But Ramachandra approached his spiritual master and said, why are you crying? You are supposed to be a pure devotee. Right? Krishna says of pure devotees in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shochati na Kangshati. Krishna says that a pure devotee is na Shochati na Kangshati. He neither laments nor desires anything. You must just lie there and be in complete bliss. Why are you lamenting? Yeah. Aren't you supposed to be a pure devotee? You should not be lamenting. Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shochati na Kangshati. Right? Paramananda Puri explained that as soon as Ramachandra Puri uttered those words, he committed an offense to his guru, because one is not supposed to give instructions to his guru. The disciple should not be so stupid as to approach his guru and say, you do not understand. You are doing something wrong. Instead of rejoicing in life, you are crying. This is what Ramachandra Puri told Madhavendra Puri. Right? Srila Prabhupada, commenting on the story, cites Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha, where he says, even for one who has attained liberation, as soon as he commits an aparad, his vasanas become stronger. Actually, he quotes this verse from a very interesting book called Vasana Bhashya. You know, the book itself is called this. This talks about a Jivan Mukta, actually. It says, I remember the rough verse. Jivan Mukta Punaryanti Samsara Vasana, something like that. Yad Ajantya Mahashaktau. Bhagavati aparadinah. This is the verse. This is very often quoted by our acharyas. This is quoted, you know, I think in one of the commentaries to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, it's quoted by Jiva Goswami. Right? So he says that, you know, by even a Jivan Mukta can actually get attracted to material vasanas if he commits offenses, right? That's what this verse says. Vasanas are the material desires hidden in our subconscious mind. In material life, the vasanas or the material desires have practically full control over us, right? In material life, they are the ones who are controlling our actions. The vasanas or samskaras that are dormant in our subconscious mind become weaker as a result of spiritual practice, right? So, they become weak, right? This is what, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Right? So, antagatam papam. Papam here refers to vasanas here. So, esham to antagatam papam means in those people where the vasanas have become weaker or have come to an end, how? Punya karmanam. Here, punya karma refers to devotional service, bhakti. So, when one's vasanas become weak to practice of bhakti, so antagatam papam actually refers to anartha nivritti. Right. So, esham to antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta. They can actually become free from raga, dvesha, attachment, hatred like that, and bhajante mam dridavrata. Right? So then they can worship me with firm determination, right? Like that. So we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and what was once a problem no longer exists. Even such terrible habits as heroin addiction can be given up as a result of chanting the Mahamantra. Jiva Goswami explains that even if a person has reached the stage of liberation and is at the level of a Jivan Mukta, as soon as he or she commits an offense, especially against a devotee and especially against a pure devotee, the strength of that offense is such that immediately out of nowhere, the demon of material desires become overwhelmingly strong. Right? So these are called as aparadotta anarthas. Right? Material desires which are born out of committing offenses. When we commit an offense, our material desires emerge. We continue to think that in one way or another, we are devotees. Right? We may continue to lead a certain way of life and maintain our reputation as devotees. These material desires in a perverted way are then exhibited in the form of a new desire, which is criticism of others. Okay. So this is a vicious cycle. Okay. So offense leads to material desires. It leads to more offense and it leads to more material desires and so on. You know, it's like a vicious cycle. So our material desires will manifest themselves in that we will be pulling down others again and again. So Maharaj says there is nothing more unfortunate than the fate of a person who was following the spiritual path and who made offense, and who, in order to compensate for the offenses, instead of honestly admitting them, starts criticizing and offending others. Right? So, you know, this is very unfortunate, as Maharaj says. So, very unfortunate is the fate of a person who was following the spiritual path, who made offenses, and in order to compensate for that offenses, instead of honestly admitting them, he starts criticizing and offending others. Unfortunately, someone who has committed an offense is again victimized by material desires. Right? So, in an attempt to remove this material desire and to justify themselves and these material desires, they start offending everyone. Okay? So, problem, offense leads to material desires, and material desires to justify them, to justify material desires, we start offending more. Okay, and this vicious cycle continues, right? And this offense leads again to material desires, and to justify them, we start offending more, and then this offense leads to more material desires, and so on. Frequently, they start offending even their spiritual master, holding him responsible for the predicament they have found themselves in. So this may eventually lead to criticizing the spiritual master also. When we follow the spiritual path, we feel that our consciousness elevates, and the more it improves, the happier we feel. But if we do not want our minds to again degrade to the material level, we should never sell our mind once more to the harlot of mundane talk, and especially material criticism or material praise. Right? So harlot again means a prostitute. Okay. So therefore he says that we should be very careful, because this is a vicious cycle. We can't afford to get into this cycle. So again, somehow if you have gotten, you know, there are ways and means of overcoming, you know, take good association, good guidance, and try to rectify. Of course, there are a lot that we could discuss on this theme, but I'll just pause to see, because we are going to start a next topic, which is discussion on about liberation. But before that, if there is any quick comment. So, okay. Is this the slide you wanted to see, Prabhu? There is a chat box question that, can you show the previous slide? Is this the slide that you wanted to see? So harlot, I have already written, Prabhuji. Harlot means a prostitute. Okay. So I'll just pause to see if there are any quick comments, discussion points, some reflections you might want to share. I'll just wait for a few seconds to see if anyone wishes to raise their hands. So so here there's a question which says, how to rectify offenses which have already been committed. We have to beg for forgiveness, and if they get pacified, it's very good. If not, then we will have to beg for more forgiveness, fall at their feet, try to render some favorable service to gain their favor. You know, to please them. And if nothing works, if they are extremely adamant at not forgiving, then we should consider ourselves most fallen and actually dedicate our full time to continuous chanting of the holy names. This is what Madhurya Kadambini describes. Sureshwar Prabhu, I'm unmuting you. Sureshwar Prabhu. I had unmuted you, Prabhu. Suresh Prabhu. Okay. Any other comments that you might want to share, anyone? So, yeah, there is one question. Without asking forgiveness, if we intensify our practice, can we overcome offenses committed to a devotee? No. This is very clearly mentioned. Of course, we may not be able to beg for forgiveness immediately. Ideally, if we immediately beg for forgiveness and get over with it, it's good. But sometimes the resistance, internal resistance, may be so strong. But nevertheless, at least we should keep it at the corner of our mind that, you know, in Madhurya Kadambini, it's very clearly mentioned to think that ultimately the solution is, the ultimate solution is to continuously chant the holy name. So, ultimately, so this seems to be an easier choice than to go and fall at the feet of the devotee and beg for forgiveness. So let me actually intensify my practice. But Madhurya Kadambini says, no, this is not a good this is not a good attitude. So therefore, we cannot do that. Eventually, we will have to go and beg forgiveness. If we cannot immediately do it, if there is a very strong internal resistance, then at least we should understand that in future, let me try to do it. But definitely one should understand that I cannot just intensify my practice without actually begging for forgiveness. That is not recommended. So, Sureshwar Prabhu, I will again try to unmute you. You see if you can unmute yourself from your side. I have unmuted you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhu, I can hear you.
Dandavat Prabhuji.
I can hear you, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, if some devotee is offending to other devotee, mm-hmm. being concerned for that, in our mind also that we also start offending. To rectify him, maybe we are not correct. Naturally, mm-hmm. think that criticizing other devotee. So how to overcome that? Naturally, it will go if somebody is discussing and he says something about other devotee. So it feel concerned for that devotee, why he is discussing that sort of matter and how to, if it continuously it happens, how to overcome that?
I mean, if we have a good relationship with that, if we have a good relationship, then we can talk nicely and see. But if that kind of a relationship is not there, better we don't participate in that and we leave. Or if we are concerned, but we may not be the, if they may not take our advice, then we can bring it, then we can nicely tell another devotee whose guidance they may accept. That.
No, Prabhuji, tell him, continue.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Continue, Prabhuji. Haribol.
Done. You can go ahead.
No, what I'm telling you is, Prabhuji, even yes, if we have a relationship, even if we have good relationship, but he will think that he is correct. Mm. On his path, what he's doing is correct. He doesn't feel that he's criticizing or other thing. It doesn't go in a mind. They will think that they are totally correct.
Okay, then
even after having a good relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, all we can do is we can pray for that devotee.
But how about our criticism? We are offending to them mentally.
We don't have to. I mean, we are concerned. So if we have genuine concern, why we should offend? Actually, we should actually feel bad. And if it's a genuine concern, then we can pray for that person. We don't have to necessarily offend because, you know, we see that person as a victim. He is being victimized by lack of discrimination. So therefore we can feel, because he is only going to suffer because of that. So therefore we can feel bad for him, and if he is genuinely concerned, we can pray for him.
Okay, bro. Thank you, bro.
Okay, there is a question here in the chat box. Neglecting the instructions of a senior devotee, is it an offense? We are not able to execute the instruction because we are not convinced. Yeah, I mean, there are hundreds of senior devotees, and they all might have some instruction for us. The point is it an offense to not if we cannot follow the instruction? I mean, ultimately, it is a question of, as you rightly mentioned, if there is no conviction, then one can definitely seek clarification. And if still, despite the clarification, if you are not convinced, then we can always seek guidance from some other senior devotee and say, Prabhuji, this is the case, this is the kind of instruction, but I am not convinced. So I sought clarification, and I am not convinced with the clarification also. So so should I execute the instruction or not? So one can always take guidance from some other senior devotee in whom we may have some trust. So that is always possible. So is it? So first thing, actually, you know, any relationship is based on trust and affection. So if we have trust and affection, otherwise every person who is a senior to us, you know, we cannot practically, it is not possible to execute all their instructions. But we have to be honest and ask ourselves. He said that for my personal convenience, I am choosing to neglect the instruction, or he said that I am genuinely not convinced and I am not feeling inspired spiritually to follow this instruction. In which case, we can always seek guidance from another devotee in whom we may have that kind of trust. Another senior devotee in whom we may have that kind of trust. That's what I feel. Is that okay, bro? Anything else anyone would like to share? Next, the theme of liberation. Anything about offense? Anything about Prajalpa, mundane talk. If there is nothing, we still have another 5 minutes. I think maybe a few slides we can complete before we wind up for the day. Okay. So liberation, Mukti Katha, right? So Srila Bhakti Vigyan Goswami writes, after Raghunath Das Goswami explains that if you value your spiritual intelligence, stop talking on material topics. He says, Katha Mukti Vyagya Na Shrunu Kila Sarvatma Gilani. The next Katha, which is highly dangerous to those following the spiritual path is Mukti Katha, or talk of Mukti, liberation. He says that these conversations are like a tigress that will devour everything. Okay. She can devour your soul, your mind, and your intelligence, because all this is Atma. And he says, Sarvatma Gilani. So discussing about Mukti can devour our soul, our intelligence, and our mind. In a sense, this Mukti Katha, or talk associated with liberation, is even more dangerous than Gramya Katha, talks of material enjoyment or benefits, worldly religion, or worldly materiality. Right? To explain false topics, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita refers to the second verse of the Bhagavatam, where Vedavyas says, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no Kaitava Dharma, no cheating or telling lies. Okay. What all falls within this category of Kaitava Dharma, we will discuss next week. But before we wind up for the day, I just want to make a small announcement. A change. Of course, I will remind you through the WhatsApp message also, but even otherwise. Next Tuesday, I'm flying to Chennai from Mumbai to visit my parents. I have some family responsibilities and certain things I need to complete. So I'll be in Chennai for some time. So next Tuesday, I will not be able to, I cannot commit because there could be some change of plan. So if you can text me and let me know, you can send me a WhatsApp message and let me know. If instead of Tuesday, would you prefer either Friday or Sunday for next week's discussion? So kindly send me a WhatsApp message and let me know. I will of course send a reminder to other devotees also and let them know. If you can let me know, because Friday slot and Sunday slot is free for me. So you can send a WhatsApp message and let me know if you would prefer either Sunday or Friday for our Manasiksha discussion next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and participation. So hoping to meet you next week, either on Friday or Sunday, depending on whatever day you choose. So maximum number of people, whatever they vote, I think we will go for that. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad ki jai. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai. And Shri Manasiksha ki jai. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.